Hello, everybody. You are back to listening to Community Voices on NPR Illinois 91.9 UIS. Good morning, everybody. My name is Bea Bonner, and I'm here with co-host Randy Eccles as we are continuing to introduce you to all of our neighbors here on Community Voices. But it is a very special time of year. That's right. It is our winter fun drive. Thanks to you, our listeners. We are here because of you. It is you why we serve, you why we have public radio. So get those donations ready. You can make a gift right now at 217-206-9847 or go to nprillinois.org. It only takes a couple of minutes and it makes all the difference in the world. And like I said, we're going to continue to introduce you to our neighbors, and we have a very special guest today, and I'm going to let her introduce herself.
Hi, WUIS listeners, it's Amanda Vinicky.
Now, Amanda, one thing we love to have people do when they come on here is to just give our audience a little background on themselves and kind of let us know what you're up to right now.
I am, of course, missing Springfield, although I still listen to NPR Illinois frequently, actually a lot of the public radio stations throughout Illinois and even throughout the country. Thanks to technology, it is kind of nice get to hear voices of many of my friends, former colleagues, PAR interns, and I'm doing that all from Chicago, which is where I now live. I'm working still in journalism, doing political reporting, although really a bit of general assignment slash I characterize myself these days as a political correspondent turned impromptu healthcare reporter, unfortunately necessitated by the coronavirus, working for a PBS affiliate in the city of Chicago. It's WTTW, Channel 11, for anybody who grew up in Chicago or the suburbs. Channel 11, it's a program called Chicago Tonight, which is actually a pretty rare thing, even for PBS stations. There isn't quite the same network as there is for public radio and NPR with PBS and its affiliates. There aren't a ton of these news shows, let alone daily programs like we do. So it's an hour-long sort of a news magazine format that focuses a lot on what is happening in Chicago, a little bit Indiana, Wisconsin, the rest of Illinois, and national politics and policy as well. That's what I'm up to these days.
How have you liked the conversion from radio to television?
I have always been a believer and a backer of journalism, first and foremost. And I think, especially these days, when I speak with students in particular that are wanting to go into the field, you kind of have to be a jack of all mediums or a Jill of all mediums in being able to write copy for the web, having your fingers fly on social media and particularly Twitter, Facebook Lives. There certainly are, to me, stories that are better suited for radio. Some stories are great for newspaper, others for TV. You know, I mean, video can really be strong. Of course, as any NPR Illinois listener well knows that has had a driveway moment, just the impact of hearing the sound, be it a pause in somebody's voice or maybe their voice catches, they're trying to, you know, prevent a tear from falling down. I think you can hear a smile in somebody's voice. Even with masks on, you can see when somebody's eyes change, and that can be really powerful on video. It is a bit of a learning curve, but I am lucky to have, regardless of the medium, have had a career that is really based in public media, where you have a bit more time to tell those stories and the ability to tell the type of stories that I really care about, where it's not going for shock value, it's going for learning, understanding, reaching out to different communities. So that is one of the commonalities.
Is that kind of what brought you to journalism originally?
Look back to it, and I have wanted to be in journalism for as long as I can remember. I mean, once I gave up on the idea of becoming a princess or a ballerina, which I think were the original career goals, it was journalism. And I definitely had a, it was like a Fisher Price sort of radio with a, it had a blue microphone attached to it and it had a little handle. It was very portable. And believe me, I took that with me a whole lot of places. I still really like microphones, which is probably no surprise to anyone. I have a really fun blinged out pink one that I got. It's for karaoke. It is coming to use at a couple of parties. I'm not sure it is radio quality. You guys probably can't get that in this studio. I like to know where people are coming from. I want to know the why behind what people want to spend their lives doing, their motivations. I, of course, consider myself to be first and foremost a political journalist. And to me, the big question usually to ask there is why? Why isn't a piece of legislation moving forward, even when there's broad agreement that it would be helpful? Why isn't the Illinois budget a priority? Why is it such a mess? Why does a politician think he or she can get away with something that is very clearly scandalous and illegal? So it's often the why for me. And that's very motivating. It sounds cliche, but it is a pretty awesome career for somebody who likes talking to people, is wanting to learn. It's sort of like taking a different crash course almost every time you do a story. And then I have to present a book report. So it's lucky, or maybe that's a sentence that I think just some people feel like, why do you want to do homework every day? Which is really kind of what it is.
You, I think, grew up in the Chicago suburbs, Amanda, and then you came downstate for school, or was there something else that brought you?
Yeah, I grew up in the suburbs, LaGrange, and then went to University of Illinois Urbana-Champaign for college, and of course was very heavily involved with the radio station there, and also the newspaper, the Daily Illini, but really likewise spent a whole lot of time, energy, and care, lots of sleepless hours working for student government there as well. And then I went back to the suburbs, worked for about a year, not quite, for The Doings, which is a weekly newspaper. I was the Burr Ridge beat reporter. And while actually I was driving around, going to village board meetings and school board meetings and more meetings and park district meetings and more meetings beyond that, I spent a lot of time in my car listening to the radio. And I'm thankful that I was not fancy enough to have any sort of, you know, I never even had it, whatever any of these radio systems would be where I could listen to anything but just what was on the dial. And nor did I have even a CD player. Like literally I have had a car at the time that just had cassettes. So it was either the cassettes or the radio. And I grew very fond of WBEZ and actually remember very clearly hearing Sean Crawford and Bill Wheelhouse frequently from the state capitol. And I was like, you know, these village board meetings are interesting, but I want to go there. And learned about the public affairs reporting program, went to that. And while after my internship with WUIS, I briefly worked at the public radio station in Iowa City. I came back when there was an opening, and I have spent really the bulk of my career at the Illinois State House with you guys. So thanks.
Yeah. And you can still hear Amanda on State Week on occasion when she joins Sean and the panel to talk about what's going on. And all this takes some resources to make happen. And so we appreciate in this year-end drive, if you go to nprillinois.org, click on the donate button and make your donation today. You can also call 206-9847. It's another way you can support what's going on. How are you coping yourself?
Largely, I'm not in the studio. So that's a big change in order to have the number of staff that are coming in kept to as low a number as possible. And also just in case, God forbid, there is any sort of, you know, COVID outbreak within the WTTW Chicago Tonight team, we're trying to stay a bit separate. And therefore I've been working a lot from home and doing interviews via Zoom. Not always. I also have been going out. We have a weekly segment called In Your Neighborhood, sort of, you know, I think there's just like Community Voices, really embracing the notion of just trying to get out there. And sometimes it's going to be motivated by a major news event, and others times it's merely a check-in on what is happening in the places that we cover. So I will go out for that. I have gone to hospitals, masked, double masked, in order to try and be as careful as possible, but to speak with the physicians and nurses who really are on the front lines of what is going on there with COVID and otherwise. It has been, of course, heartbreaking. I think I don't know anybody who hasn't had a difficult time in 2020 just watching the sorrow that has been experienced by families who've lost somebody, perhaps to COVID, perhaps not. Of course, the mourning process is different. And I mean, it's just, it's all so hard. People that are losing their jobs, business owners that are striving to keep their dreams afloat, continue to have those paychecks going out to their employees. So I think that's something that the more you cover those stories, it does get you down. And at the same time, it's a motivation to tell those stories. And particularly while there are so many of us in our homes and following those rules, trying to be as careful as possible, getting out there and working the phones, working the Zoom to see what is going on outside the walls of each of our individual homes, whatever that looks like. Again, there's just so many experiences. We all have this commonality, right, of going through a pandemic that none of us has gone through, experienced in our lifetimes. But what that looks like for everybody is so different. If you're a working parent, if you're somebody who's experiencing homelessness, if you are an essential employee who's maybe scared, but has no choice but to go to work. Really trying to examine the very many ways that this pandemic is affecting all of our lives.
Why do you think it's important now more than ever to have the role of the journalist in the society that we're living in?
Journalism is so crucial to me. I think particularly right now when you're not perhaps going out and about and seeing what's happening in the world, because people aren't traveling, aren't even maybe even going out in their neighborhoods. You need to be the eyes and the ears for people. Our government in cases is spending a whole lot of money and taking a lot of actions. In other cases is sitting there, it appears to folks as if certain officials or bodies are twiddling their thumbs and not doing enough. It's not only actually being out and about and doing as much shoe leather reporting as is safe, always you need to be holding your elected officials and those in power accountable for their actions. And I can't hit on this enough. Sometimes it is their lack of actions that we need to really bring to light. And so while I'm doing this healthcare reporting, the political policy and holding folks' feet to the fire remains crucial.
Amanda, when you see things both in Chicago and statewide through Springfield, when coronavirus gets under control, what do you think is going to be needed to try to get the state healthy? What are you seeing people talk about?
First and foremost, hope that we all get outside, get together, hug our loved ones, breathe some fresh air. For me, something that I think is just difficult as I like people de facto when I enjoy meeting them, speaking with them. Obviously, again, that's part of journalism, right? Like learning people's stories. It is really difficult, I think, emotionally, psychologically, everybody that you encounter is a potential threat. So instead of just going about our daily lives and meeting strangers or having interactions, even when you say go to the grocery store, meeting people, and that's an opportunity to make an acquaintance or a friendship or learn a story. Instead, you're trying to move away as much as possible physically. And I think that has an emotional resonance as well of seeing people, viewing everyone as a potential like killer is almost how it can feel. I cannot wait to get over that. And I think that's number one for everybody. In terms of the state, what do they have to do? There is always, unfortunately, in my time covering Illinois government, the issue of the budget. And while love makes the world go round, money makes government and politics go round. Certainly, there are some discussions that have been put off and put aside in Illinois for a great many years. Keep on saying it, but I think really particularly with the pandemic and what it has done to the state's revenues, also spending, but really revenues, those discussions truly have to begin to happen, or I don't know where the state is going to go. I think there's that. And then there's also just bridging divides. When you look at the results of the 2020 election, there's a lot of focus on nationally, the red states versus the blue states, but it's almost as if Illinois has that split, is that split. That is something that I hope elected officials truly, at this time where COVID has been so awful, there also has been an opportunity for a lot of reflection, perhaps to really reflect on that and to recognize those differences. There is, I think, going to be a lot that immediately come the legislature convening will have to be dealt with in terms of a reckoning with social justice, racial injustice, what Illinois is going to do about that. These are things that the Black Caucus, Latino Caucus, and many in the General Assembly have been talking about for years. This is not merely brand new, merely coming about because of George Floyd. It certainly is the igniter, that things that had been on the back burner, that this has instigated a full-fledged movement, and the Illinois General Assembly, I'm sure, is going to move forward on. Got to add ethics with all that is going on in corruption. It is certainly a fascinating time to cover what could be the downfall of the nation's longest serving Illinois House Speaker. I mean, my entire career, you think Illinois politics, you think Illinois House Speaker and Democratic Party Chairman Michael Madigan. That has been the case for decades. And whatever comes of the ComEd scandal and lawsuit, including those who were arraigned and have pled not guilty, there's a lot to answer for when it comes to how people who characterize themselves as public servants, what sort of service they are providing.
You are listening to Community Voices on NPR, Illinois 91.9, UIS, and we've been talking to Amanda Vinicky about what's going on in Illinois, what's going on just as we're amid this COVID pandemic, and we also got to learn a little bit about her as well. So if you continue to like the coverage that we're providing, if you continue to like hearing about what's going on in Springfield, hearing about what's going on in Illinois, we can continue to provide that. And it's all because of you and your support. And we just thank you. And if you haven't given, take a chance and do that right now. You can call 217-206-9847 or go to nprillinois.org to make your gift today. And we so do thank you.
Hey, Amanda, journalism obviously is, as you described, a passion of yours. And also fun microphones. But outside of that, what are you doing? You know, what's your passion to get away from it?
I don't know if there's any such thing as getting away from journalism or the news. If you're a junkie, you're a junkie. And you know what? I'm all right with it. Of the addictions to have in life, that ain't a bad one, in my opinion. I'm not sure that I don't want to get away from it. Sure, everybody needs a little bit of a break and a digital detox, but then go to a newspaper and a book instead of your phone or Outlook. I love mustard and hot sauce. These are hobbies that one can do in a pandemic world. I have not taken up any sort of hobbies like, I don't have any sourdough starter, thought about it. I'm still a little interested, but not sure I would be able to keep that alive. Not much of a chef or anything, but I'm ready to put hot sauce and mustard on anything and everything. Would normally say I love to travel. Who doesn't? I don't really understand anybody that doesn't like to explore the world. I think is part and parcel of being a journalist. And getting back to everything that we've been talking about, it's just discovering different ways of life. And unfortunately, that's something that I think is a bit more difficult these days. So not doing too much of it, but that is most certainly a passion. Also consider myself sort of an Illinois fangirl. While I am sometimes motivated in my journalism by outrage and wanting to right a wrong, I love the state that I was born in, grew up in, want the best for it and for its residents, like to learn about Illinois history and have kind of had some fun this pandemic. So as I noted, I've been working from home by and large. And one of the things that I've been doing is broadcast from, you know, I live in Chicago. One side of my home is right by the L. So that's not very good for radio or for TV. So I have this one little corner that's about as soundproof and safe as it gets. And I put behind the windowsill a lot of my Illinois memorabilia and posters and fun little things. I'm always on the lookout for that. I guess that dovetails into, yeah. I like shopping, particularly vintage stores, Salvation Army. I can't wait to hit more of those up once it's allowed. I guess it's permitted these days, but trying to stay home and be safe as much as possible.
Amanda, we really appreciate you taking the time with us today. Is there anything else that you've been seeing or would like to tell us about that we should know about?
I, again, have really cherished my career, and so I'm glad to be able to talk about journalism with you guys, and much love to all of my Springfield friends and the capital city. I still think going into the Illinois State House and looking up at that dome is pretty awe-inspiring and can never let that go. I would love anybody, if you're making a trip from Springfield to Chicago, you let me know. I may well put in a Magic Kitchen order. That's another addiction. I tried to learn that a little. It is very difficult to get pad thai noodles the appropriate consistency and also the spice. So good. I'm still listening and really love all of the work that NPR Illinois does and much support. And please, everybody, continue to be kind to yourselves, be kind to one another.
Another special year-end edition of Community Voices on NPR Illinois, 91.9 UIS. Thanks to Amanda Vinicky and neighbors like you, who understand the value NPR Illinois programs bring to the community and strongly support them. If you've already donated, thank you. If you haven't, please donate now at nprillinois.org or by calling 206-9847. Community Voices airs weekdays at noon and Saturdays at 5 p.m. Find on-demand audio at nprillinois.org. For V Bonner, I'm Randy Eccles. Community Voices is a production of NPR Illinois.